Welcome to this very special series of the Team Wales Partner Podcast. My name's Simon Clark and I'm founder of Speakeasy Club, and I'm delighted to host this really unique series. We bring a number of Team Wales partners together and we talk about everything. We talk about mental health in business, sport and life. There's a lot of fascinating conversations throughout this series, and in this episode we sit down with Tim and Laura from Brown Jacobson, a relatively new partner with Team Wales. But just spending time with Tim and Laura, you instantly get this feeling and this sense of people first, regardless of whether that's inside or outside of work. And it was brilliant just listening to some of the changes that they have made locally but also nationally as a major organization, and also just understanding that motivation for getting involved and supporting Team Wales. So we really hope you enjoy this episode. Please do let us know, leave us a review and a rating. We'd really like to hear from you. So sit back, relax and enjoy. Tim and Laura, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. Really appreciate it. I know you've been doing so much already today, so giving up your time is really, really kind. What we're here today to talk about is mental health, but in business life and sport, and how it all connects together. You both are in a world where it kind of interconnects, and there's quite a few things that you guys have been doing recently as a business that I'm keen to chat about. But first off, can I just throw over to you for a bit of an introduction to share who you are, your involvement in the business as a partner, and what kind of attracts you to working with Team Wales?
Sure. Well, I'm Laura Hughes and this is Tim Eds. We're both partners at Brown Jacobson, which is a top 50 law firm, recently opened a year and a bit ago now, our seventh office here in Cardiff. Tim and I sort of led the opening of the office, and Tim's head of office here, and I'm our executive lead for Wales. I sit on our executive of the whole business because I'm in one of the departments as well. Diversity, equity, inclusion and wellbeing are a huge part of our strategy as a business, one of the kind of core pillars of the business. And I guess in many ways, that was what attracted us to working with Team Wales. The values that Beck and others bring to the business club in terms of looking at those issues and just at doing business and business networking in a different way, focusing on different things. So that was kind of one of the things, as well as the fact that Bex has built a really great business club, actually, of really good businesses that we wanted to be part of that network, and is running some really great events and things around that as well. So yeah, I've probably said everything. Do you want to say?
No pressure, Tim. There's no pressure. I'm going to pester you for loads.
I agree with what Laura said. I think sort of from our perspective with opening the office last year, we've been approached by a number of people and businesses and organisations to partner alongside. And obviously budgets are not infinite. So we have to choose where we spend our money and how we target and partner in those areas that we feel most aligns with A, what we're trying to achieve locally, but also nationally as a firm, and also alongside our values. And of all of the people that we spoke to and have met across the past sort of 15 months, opportunity seemed too good to turn down, really, particularly with the businesses that she already had on board for the business club, but also just that wider piece around what Team Wales does for Wales in general on the sporting side of it and in the communities that Beck uses Team Wales to reach into alongside the various different sports that she has running under it. But that, as well as it being sort of an umbrella organisation and not focused on one sport, was something that was really good for us. It did not sort of singling out one area and being able to be involved in all of those different areas and get a sense of what that looks like was much more compelling for us to be able to say, yeah, that's the business and organisation that we'd like to partner with.
Amazing. There's a few bits there that I want to pick up on in a little bit, I think, around the connection, the network, the like-minded people piece, and that related to mental health. But I'm going to ask a really simple and straightforward question to you both. And Laura, I'll ask you first. What does mental health mean to you?
I think it's about, for me as a part owner of a big business, mental health's key in that work setting. It's obviously key in every part of everybody's life. But looking at it through that angle as an employer, particularly, lawyers have relatively high pressured roles, and you know, particularly some of the things that some of our lawyers might be doing, some of the cases they might be involved with, can bring additional pressure to that role in terms of the subject matter they're dealing with. And so for us, as an employer that cares about its people and wants to make sure that they are not harmed by what they're doing at work, or that we can support them if they've got issues going on outside of work, that we're there to help them not struggle with anything that might sort of cause them harm or damage or put them off, you know, being able to show up to work in the way they want to, you know. And so it covers a whole range of things. You know, I think it can be anything from someone just not on their best day for a particular reason that may or may not be linked to work, to people with, you know, acute mental health issues where they're actively having treatment for that and we need to work with them to support them in that. I guess in that context, it covers a whole range of things. For me personally, it's about making sure that I can do the job to the best of my ability. And that means making sure that I'm managing my mental health in a way that allows me to deliver. And, you know, some of that can be quite basic stuff around sleep and nutrition and things like that. But actually making sure that I am talking to people and dealing with whatever pressures I've got going on to enable me to do the best job I can.
I just want to pick up on that bit there you mentioned about their work not harming them. That's a really interesting phrase, and I think we could all probably get a picture in our own worlds of what that looks like. But can you just explain that a little bit more, and what does that kind of look like on a day-to-day basis within the legal world?
So I think, you know, the law as a profession, it's two things really. So one thing might be the type of work that an individual lawyer is dealing with could be quite stressful or triggering. So we act on a number of the big public inquiries that have been going on. So Grenfell, COVID inquiry, we're involved with the Letby inquiry, things like that, that where frankly the evidence and the just doing the job of representing our clients at that inquiry can be extremely challenging because of the material that our lawyers are having to deal with. We have lawyers who conduct inquests into some pretty horrific deaths. You know, we have people who deal with med mal cases, some of which are babies. You know, that there's parts of being a lawyer, depending on your specialism, which can be quite traumatic in and of itself in terms of what you're having to read, deal with and help your clients through, you know, as well as support, as well as reading the material and dealing with it. You're supporting your clients through that, those processes, which can be incredibly emotionally draining as well, if it's something that they're challenged by. So there's that aspect. And then I think there's just the aspect of the law as a profession, which again has historically and probably in many, many law firms still, you know, there's very much, you know, lawyers being judged on their performance in 6-minute units, you know, having to deliver to a target, wanting to be progressing through to seniority within their firm, and the pressures that can sometimes bring. There was a very high profile death of a senior equity partner at another large law firm in the last year, which attracted a lot of media interest in the law and a lot of kind of self-questioning within the profession about whether we're supporting people even at the very highest level who might be, you know, our highest achievers and who in some spaces people are saying ought to be able to support themselves. You know, what are we doing as a profession to guard against just massive overwhelm in terms of the amount of pressure that can be brought to bear? So there's two aspects. I think so for some lawyers, the work they do itself can be triggering and difficult to deal with. But I think just generally then, whatever type of lawyer in as a profession, there can be significant pressure that can come from yourself or from the way that we were or have historically at least worked, which as a profession, where, as I say, we're still trying to get to grips with, I think, in terms of how we support people best.
Yeah, definitely. It's not sort of line of work you can really go home and offload in many cases, is it? You know, there's a lot of confidentiality involved as well, so that support, yeah, with the people who know is vital. Thank you for that, Tim. You were nodding your head a lot there as well. That all sits well with you as well, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. Going back to the sort of the original question time of what does mental health mean to me? Yeah, I think it's changed, particularly in the last 2 years, I would say, from my perspective, both on a personal and sort of leadership level, if you like. My role within the firm has changed enormously over the past 2 years, and I've gone from being the single person within the firm who was based in Wales to now heading up an office of 30 odd people. In terms of my personal position, I would say that I've been fairly resilient throughout my career in terms of how I've approached my work and dealt with stresses that Laura talks about. I trained as a criminal defence lawyer, so I've seen difficult cases and dealt with evidence that's hard alongside clients that were going through very difficult times. So seeing that side of it, obviously the role that I do now is very different being a public law lawyer, but that still brings its own pressures in terms of the job itself. There are deadlines, there are things that we work on which are incredibly important to the public across the country, and they're therefore important to the government of the day and our clients delivering for those governments. So there's that side of the pressure. Dealing with that, I've always found, if I'm being perfectly honest, not too bad. There are times of stress, but I've never really felt that I've had any difficulty with it, fortunately. With the change in role being more of a sort of part of the firm's leadership, if you like, and heading up the office here, I'm acutely aware of the extra demand on me and the different roles that I have now across that time. And I've had to adjust how I deal with that, in the sense of sort of what does my work week look like? How do I manage the different roles that I've got across the week that I have to put my different hats on for, and still sort of looking after clients and also the people that we've got here? And it definitely has had a different type of pressure on it over these past couple of years. And so I've had to adjust how I view what makes me continue to be able to be resilient in those times. And drawing on what Laura was saying, sort of actually after sort of 12 months going, right, actually I do need to now get my head back into a bit of sport, and putting in an exercise regime that I can actually fit in around my work life has made a massive difference. Learning that actually stopping doesn't mean that you're giving up, but actually that you can just then stop, go to sleep and pick it back up. And that's not the same as it being couched as failing or giving up and not doing the job to the best of your ability. So I suppose for me, it's been putting in measures that have enabled me to continue to feel like I am being resilient and not getting overwhelmed with things. So that's from the personal level. And then having that responsibility of the people that come into the office on a day-to-day basis and seeing how they're getting on and that the work environment is okay. All of those things that Laura mentioned about being a lawyer or any non-fee-earning member of staff that we've got, and the different pressures that they're facing on a day-to-day basis in a large organization, but at the moment is a very fast growing small office in that network, and the things that come alongside that. So yes, it's very exciting and the opportunities are fantastic, but there's also the pressure that's aligned to that in terms of continuing to grow the office and be a part of that. And so getting to know those people as well, because they're new, mm-hmm. and learning what makes them tick and how they operate and how they like to work and all of those things as well. And so it's been a massive learning curve for me in terms of what mental health means, I suppose, over the last 2 years, and a change absolutely in my focus and understanding of what's needed around it.
Can you see the questions that are on the screen? Because that has basically just gone through about the next three or four points that I wanted to discuss with you both. So I tell you what, I think it's fantastic. I kind of always knew this was going to be a great chat, because we're pretty aligned on how we look at people and look after people in equal measure. But no, thank you for that. That's, I mean, one of the kind of discussion points really, but you've both discussed it already. I don't know where the organization sits on it, is this whole what seems outdated approach of you leave your troubles at the door, which very much used to be that's how you do things. If you've got stuff going on at home, when you walk through the business door, you're 100% there. It's not real, is it? It's not like, but Tim, you've just talked through there really brilliantly around how you personally and the organization addresses that. So yeah, just any kind of comments on kind of that.
So, I mean, we have a tagline, bring your whole self to work. And I think that's, you know, that it's not just about wellbeing, but it's also touched on some of the diversity, equity and inclusion points, but very much that, you know, we're very much in the space now, Brian Jacobson, of encouraging people to talk and open up, and actually training managers about how to work with their people to get them to talk. Because, you know, it's ludicrous to think you can come to work and leave everything at home that's impacting at home or wherever else the impact is coming from. There may be impact coming from work. You know, it all has to be talked about. It's what goes to making people. You know, you're not going to perform well in your role at work if you've got issues that are not being dealt with outside of work. That said, you know, there's been it's still very much a change. I think to an extent it's maybe generational as well. You know, I've had issues with some people in my department who weren't initially talking because of that sort of slightly more old-fashioned mindset of they didn't feel it was something they should be discussing in work. But I'm glad to say that that's changed for the individual I'm thinking of. But it's, you know, there is definitely something about creating a culture which allows people to feel they can do that without judgment and without stigma, and that they'll be supported then to help find solutions as far as the business can. You know, there's some things we can't obviously solve, but about what might be going on in people's home lives, but we can support in the context of work to adapt as much as we can to support people in whatever's going on in their lives. And as I say, we've got two things in particular, two programs. One's called TRIM, which is particularly focused on trauma management, which is around those more difficult types of case that people might be dealing with. So we've targeted particular teams where the teams and the managers have had this training together to help them, you know, basically create spaces and have conversations about the subject matter of what they're dealing with and how they cope with that collectively and separately. And then there's another training program, name of which escapes me, it'll come back to me, which is basically all about managers and seeing sort of people who manage people, which is a lot of people in the business, having training to kind of learn how to make space for these conversations, basically to allow people to open up and to spot the signs when perhaps people aren't, and to kind of know how to probe more. And we have, you know, we have mental health first aiders that the new program is kind of a step on from that, kind of trying to expand that to really everybody in the business. You know, it shouldn't just be certain people who have additional qualifications, if you like. Yes, you can escalate to them. They're still there. They're not going anywhere. But everybody should have the skill set to be able to talk to their people about these issues and spot when it's maybe not quite right and probe and know that that is part of their role and is something they can do. And I think that's, you know, that cultural piece and therefore opening the door to conversations is a huge part of what Brown Jacobson's about these days. And it's, you know, I suppose it's psychological safety, isn't it, in many respects, but it's people knowing they're not going to be judged for talking about mental health issues, however they show up, in the sense of, you know, however minor or major that might be, we'll do our best to support them as best we can as a business in that context.
There's a piece that we do, Simon, as well within the firm, which is linked to the DEI side of things, but also goes to socializing the sort of the ability for people to discuss what they want to discuss in a safe space, with and normalizing the discussion of difficult topics, if you like, and getting that out there and making sure that you can feel like you can A, bring your whole self to it, but B, talk about that and not be in a position of feeling like you're being judged. And that's a series of things that are called courageous conversations. Mm. They run across a lunchtime, and they started off the back of the killing of George Floyd, and where the REACH community wanted to sort of really express how they were feeling and what that felt like at that particular time. And so the session is run with a number of people across seniority within the firm who speak to the particular subject. It goes from sort of racial issues like that through to health-related matters like the menopause, or more well-being-focused things in terms of being a working parent. And it all sort of spans the DEI range, but with a view to creating that psychologically safe space for people to drop in, listen to people who've got lived experience of the particular topic, alongside some others who were brought into the conversation who maybe don't, and come at it from a different perspective, to sort of hear all of the different sort of views on, or sort of appreciation of what that looks like. And as I say, it's run across the lunchtime. It appears in your calendar as an invite. There's absolutely no obligation to attend or take part, as much or as little as you want. And they run, I think they're every couple of months, aren't they? More often than not.
I think more often than not, every month. And they have covered top topics around mental health, as well as a range of other things. And people talk openly about their experiences. And we haven't yet done this, but we're in discussions about how we expand certainly those conversations about people's mental health experiences. In the department that I run, we had an away day in May, and we did get various people up to talk about their own experiences with mental health issues and how they've managed them. Because again, I think part of this is about normalizing it. You know, it's not something that, yes, obviously you need to be able to have a safe space with your line manager to discuss stuff if it's confidential, but equally it's something that can be talked about openly and shared, and it doesn't need to be kind of kept behind closed doors if that's something you're struggling with and you're comfortable with sharing it. So we're looking at ways as a business of how we can share those experiences and provide support potentially for people who are going through it, from others who may have been through something similar, and how they've coped and managed. Obviously it's different for everybody, but having that support within the organization, as well as the range of kind of helplines and things that we can point people towards if it becomes more serious, which we have a whole range of different things, different pathways we can point people towards if they need, you know, clinical help or more serious help, but sort of also looking just within the organization about where we can talk about it and support people in lots of different ways, whether through line management or through buddies or mentors or people who've been through it themselves, having those conversations.
I think that's one of the most powerful things that comes out of Brown Jacobson and you two particularly is around, is very much, yes, we've got the avenues and we can support from a clinical point of view if needs be, but it's all about prevention. And it's all about really helping people look at the person in front of you. Yes, you're important to the business, but you're important to yourself and your family first and foremost. So that is the bit that quite clearly comes out from what you've both just talked about in the last sort of 10 minutes or so. But also it's embedded across the organization. That's what it really feels like. That's what I'm hearing, which is fantastic, really.
Yeah, and I think we're business really care about people and always has. And that, you know, that's the ultimate driver. But equally, you know, if people need a business justification for this, then obviously prevention rather than cure is much better, because hopefully whilst you might be allowing people some space at times to work through things, that's got to be better than them having some kind of major psychological issue that means they're off work for months and months at a time. You know, also, you get an incredible amount of loyalty from people when you give them the space when they need it and help them in any way you can at a time that they need it. You know, they give that back to you in spades. So there's absolutely a business reason to do it. But, you know, the best reason, as you say, is because at the end of the day, work is just work. It's always going to be there. You know, no matter what happens to you or anyone else, the business will carry on. But there is no replacement for you, for your family or your friends, because that's, you know, that's the thing. And again, you know, thinking back to a different person this time, you know, who I was speaking to about some issues last year. Okay, you know, things might not have gone brilliantly at work for a period of time, but they will get better. And actually, you need to take some time to look after yourself, because you need to be there for your family in the long run. You know, those kind of conversations happen frequently at Brown Jacobson, I think, because I don't know, I wouldn't want to work in a business that didn't have that mentality. Like, there's a reason I've been at Brown Jacobson as long as I have, and it's because it's always been people focused. What I think has happened in the last few years is we've formalized those structures and we've got a lot of tools at our disposal now that help us do it in a kind of more structured way. But that has always been there.
Yeah, I think that's quite clear. That passion, the little smile on your face there, is you can quite clearly talk about it for ages, which is brilliant.
Somebody who hasn't been at the business in the same length of time as Laura, one of the reasons that I was convinced that I was making the right move when I left my previous job was because of the time that it took between when the job offer came to me and when I actually started, in terms of making sure that everything was right. So I was in-house in Welsh Government's legal team. So public sector with, at the time, very flexible working conditions and the sort of the public sector pension, etc., those benefits that you had. And when I was in discussions with Laura and the other partners in the team at the time, they made sure that they were asking the questions of, are you sure this is the right move for you back into private practice in terms of what the difference in the demands are? Is it right for what you're doing with your family? We not long had our second child. I think he was born in the August and I was moving in the October if things went through. So he was young. There was that taken on both sides to understand that because I'd be the only person based in Wales fully, how would that work? Because that was 2018, pre-pandemic. Remote working wasn't the norm back then. And so how was that going to work on a day-to-day basis with me at my house down here when the vast majority of the team at that time was based in Nottingham? We worked through all of these things over a period of weeks before we got to the point where we can make this work between us. So I think it would have been very easy for a firm the size of Brown Jacobson and not being on the ground here to say, we'll bring him on, see what happens. If it doesn't work out, then it doesn't matter. He's just a number and we've tried. And that obviously wasn't the case right from the very beginning, and it only served to sort of reinforce why I wanted to move. But also I think it's been fundamental in the reason why we've managed to push on in the way that we wanted to here in Wales, just off the back of that one thing, really, because it's what attracted me to it. It's what cemented my view, and I've got to continue that down here as well.
I think you definitely are. That's certainly coming across loud and clear. I want to talk about the business club a little bit more in a minute, but just one more thing. You've both mentioned a word there quite a lot, family. And something I'm getting increasingly more passionate about is, let's stop talking about mental health. Let's look at the component parts that actually kind of help somebody's mental health. And one of the big things for me is others actually caring about something that's important to you. You've both mentioned it in various bits. And what's more important to somebody than their family and their children? And I know that you guys and Brown Jacobson have come up with a equalized family policy. I had to write that down. It's not the most complicated phrase, but I had to write it down and I still struggled. So, but just talk us through that, because I think it's absolutely game changing. And it is what it will do, and the connection to mental health for me, apologies, is just so important, because it just gives that person, it just means that you care, and it just means so much to that individual. So please just tell us a little bit more about the motivation and kind of where it all came from.
Yeah. So, we're really proud of this. So we've just end of last week, announced our equalized parenting policy. So in effect, we've taken what was our paternity, non-pregnant parent, non-primary adopter policy to match it to our maternity or pregnant parent policy. So in effect, whereas previously the birthing individual could take 13 weeks full pay and 13 weeks half, that's now open to anyone who has a child, whether they're the birthing parent or not. So in a traditional heterosexual couple, it's not just the woman who has the maternity pay, it's the man who has the equivalent to that as well. So 13 weeks full and 13 weeks half pay is available to them. That's a huge step. We're not the first law firm to have done it. You know, there's a couple of others that have taken that step to fully equalise, but it was really important for us to do it for a number of reasons. Gender equity is a huge one. You know, I've been a big believer for a long time that until men have the same opportunity to care for their children in the way to make the same kind of choices as women do, it's unfair on men, but it's also perpetuates issues around women and their progression in the workplace. So it's been a huge kind of objective of mine personally to get us to this place. Although I have to say, I haven't done the legwork on it. I need to credit Anya Barrera and our senior partner, Caroline Green, who did a lot of the work on getting this to the place that it's at and getting it through our exec, et cetera. And you're right, though, that the impacts around mental health and the ability of anyone to take time off around the birth of their child is really important. We know that a lot of women and mothers have mental health issues after the birth of children. You know, it's significant. And if the partner can't be there for them at that time, that can be pretty damaging. And so this will help with that as well. It will just help with, again, you know, the other parent being able to be there for at the beginning. And, you know, it's not something that was in place when I had my children or when Tim had his. And so it's brand new. I think we'll, you know, it might take a bit of adaptation in terms of how we manage resource and things. We're sort of alive to that. But as a business, we felt it was a really important thing to do. I took time off with both my children. You know, it wasn't something that Tim had the opportunity to do. So it equalizes that, which is fantastic, I think.
Yeah, I was. So when we had our daughter, Megan, who was our first child, we're still working for Welsh Government at that time. And so their paternity pay and leave was quite good in comparison to lots of places by that point, I think. So whilst there is that sort of equalising of it, and the fact that what that will allow people to be able to do without the worry up front is amazing, what it would have done for me, which you couldn't have foreseen at the time, was taken a whole load of additional pressure off, because Megan was born in August, my wife's dad died in the October, and her mum died in the January. And so in that first 6 month period of her becoming a new mum, she lost like a massive part of her support network through her parents no longer being with us. We live in Penarth. Her mum and dad live just outside Swansea. And so there was a whole load of things that she needed to do around the sort of estate side of sort of mopping up everything afterwards alongside her brothers and sisters. So she was back and forth to Swansea a lot at that time. Now, again, luckily, outside of the paternity policy within Welsh Government, I had that flexibility at the time where I could sort of come and go from the office on flexi time. And I did have the ability to work remotely, albeit through an iPad, which when I look back, I don't know how I managed to do work through an iPad in the systems that I had back then, but I managed to do it. You look at this policy being in place, if that's there, that whole 6 months just is like the additional stress of having to manage the work side of it is just gone because you're there. I wouldn't want that to be a reason for anybody to have to rely on that policy in a greater way. But it just goes to show the additional benefits that it can have when something completely unforeseen happens, such as that.
Yeah, I mean, this deserves significantly longer than we've got time for, sadly. But I just thank you for it, because it is a statement of intent. And I totally acknowledge, Laura, you say that, you know, you're not the first law firm to do it. At the same time, you know, it's an incredible amount of work that goes in. It's just the right thing to do. And I think there's a really interesting bit, and I think this is probably just speaking from a male perspective, I didn't really think about it. I totally thought about everything you said, Tim, around the pressures, and very similar with my wife after our first child. 6 months later, her dad died unexpectedly, and it was just, right, how can I take the pressure off? But the whole career development piece, it hadn't landed until you mentioned it. But yeah, well, of course, that is a huge part of it, and why can't we help? I think it's fantastic. Thank you. Thank you both very much for that. Last couple of bits, and then I'll let you set you free, I promise. Just a little bit more about that you talked at the start of the conversation around the motivation for being involved with Team Wales, the business club, and Tim particularly, you know, setting up the office here in Cardiff, getting that network out. Just talk to me a little bit more about the benefits and how that's added value to you as a partner and a business.
Yeah, well, I think so. As a firm, our practice is split between public and private sector, almost 50-50. We've done work in the public sector in Wales for the best part of 20 years, and it was that platform that enabled us to persuade the partnership that we should open the office here. However, that wasn't the end of the story, and we were keen to ensure that what we offer out of this office is a reflection of the full service of the whole of the firm across the country. So we need to build that private sector client base and build on what we've got across the country and the links that we've got with some of the larger organisations who we act for and who are based in Wales. But then we also need to develop new angles on the work front and establish new relationships and build the client base up from there. When you look at the businesses that are involved with Beck on the business club side of things, it was an ideal fit. We knew a couple of them through different events that we've been to across the last 12 months. So to be involved in an actual network with them, because we know that their values are aligned with ours. We know that their aspirations for the local market and what they want to do in terms of pushing Cardiff and South Wales and wider on in terms of it being a vibrant business community, we're all the same as what we're looking to do here as well. And so you just had to look at what Beck was doing with that and attending a couple of the events to see that we've made the right choice in terms of that partnership. Beck was very good even before we became partner, getting us along to a couple of events and introducing us to a couple of people who were there as well. And so that only sort of served to solidify that it would be a good choice. The things that we've been involved in with her since and have got in the pipeline have been tremendous. And I'll let Laura talk about a couple of those in a minute. Just it hasn't. There's been no downside to it. Beck individually is fantastic, but the people that she's got around her and the events that she's been able to organise and the network that we've been involved in and what's come off the back of that already is proving that we've made the right decision on that side of it.
I think there's very much a values alignment piece. When we spoke to Rebecca, there was a kind of, she'd heard about us, I think, the reason she approached us initially from others. So she came with a bit of an understanding of us, and she'd obviously done a bit of homework as well. And we immediately started talking about DEI and wellbeing and things like that. And that was, I think, a big part of her wanting to approach us. But then equally, we felt that coming back, you know, hearing her talk about the outreach working to schools and working with athletes on disability, but on mental health, on a whole range of things. And the, as Tim says, the initial events we went to where we heard athletes talk about some of the challenges they may have faced. You know, if there was one a Paralympic athlete who got to that place through being injured, and he talked about his mental health struggles and, you know, lots of that kind of alignment. This Friday, in fact, we've been working with Beck on the Paralympic homecoming, but the kind of the business club day that's in the afternoon with Disability Sports Wales, sharing some of our experience of our disability network and that kind of opportunity to talk to other business club members and to work with Beck on that kind of thing has been fantastic. You know, this as an initiative, I think, is absolutely fantastic. And what we found is that, you know, the business club and Team Wales generally is very much feels aligned with our values and with the things that we're interested in for, you know, promoting in Wales and for Wales, you know, and I think that's kind of, there's definitely, I'm excited to see what happens next, because I know Beck's got big plans and we very much want to be at the heart of them, because we do feel that it's a great network, but with a strong sense of value that really speaks to us as well. So it's kind of, it feels like an absolutely brilliant fit for us, frankly, and you know, already proven we're only a few months into our relationship, but just through this and through the day on Friday and various other bits and pieces we've talked about with Beck, you know, it's definitely going to be exactly what we wanted it to be. But then there's the business side as well, and having access to those other businesses and being able to network and work with them, and again, often sharing values with them as well, because Beck's, you know, selected people with the same values as her, so lo and behold, we've all got the same values. So it's, you know, it works very well. It's a fantastic network to be part of.
Amazing. Thank you. I'm going to clip that last bit up and that'll be the bit that we share. She'll be delighted to hear all that. I mean, that's great. That's exactly what the purpose behind the network. It's got to be, you know, accessible. It's got to have everyone's kind of objectives in mind. And then everybody kind of, as you said, have those values that are aligned as well. They're pretty incredible things can happen. I've got a last question for both of you. It's the same one. It's a bit of a fun one as well. So we kind of do this with everybody. I asked this question, and I don't know,
I'm nervous.
No, it's, well, I hope it's fun anyway. I hope it's supposed to be fun. I ask this question a lot, and I don't know, you may well have seen it in bits, but I kind of ask where people's clubhouse is, and where's that place for you that you can kind of go or be with people, whatever it looks like, where you feel safe, happy, you can be the whoever you want to be, really. You don't feel judged. Sounds like Brown Jacobson's a bit of a clubhouse, to be honest, which is pretty cool, and not many businesses can say that. For me, I'm actually in the minority, because my clubhouse is my rugby club. It was the safe place for me when I was really struggling. I could go and not be judged. I just could take the weight off. So I'm going to ask you both separately. Laura, I'm going to go with you first.
Put me on the spot. I mean, I, you know, my family undoubtedly, but I would say absent that, cliched as it is Brown Jacobson. Like, gosh, didn't expect the catch in my voice there. I've been at the firm 23 years, and there's a very good reason why.
I love that. And I think just a little bit about, there's no such thing as cliches. That's the whole point, I think, is what people want it to be, which is amazing. And I won't ask you anything else now, so you can breathe, and that's it. Tim, over to you. Where's your clubhouse?
I think I'm feeling lucky, if I'm being honest, because through different times in my life, a number of groups of friends. And so I don't think I could pinpoint one group, but sort of still really lucky that I'm in touch with people who I went to school with. So whenever I get together with those, doesn't matter how long it's been, it's always the same. Similarly, through university and doing my professional courses, those lads I'm still in touch with and see them, and that never changes either. But then the sort of like going home, still call it home, back to Milford Haven in Pembrokeshire, it doesn't matter where I am down there, that's always fine, whether that's rugby club, golf club, any number of pubs. And then again, locally in the community in Penarth, not Old Pensound, but the athletic club across the road, sorry. I've been...
No one's perfect, Tim. No one's
I know. The drawn in to coaching my lads' age group, and now being part of that rugby club, having been part of one back in Milford growing up, feels very similar. And so the local community in Penarth is great as well. And then just the standard one as well, family. And what I feel very privileged to be is where I am within the firm here and this Cardiff office.
You couldn't not say that, could you?
No, I couldn't. But at the same time, we've welcomed a load of people across the last 3 or 4 months into the business and into the Cardiff office. We got together on Friday night and did a sort of end of summer social, and there were 25 of us out. And being downstairs here and having a few drinks before we made our way into Cardiff, and just watching everybody getting on and having that enjoyment around after work and sort of meeting each other properly outside of sort of the interactions we're on a day-to-day basis in the office, we're in the making of something there as well.
That's fantastic. Just naturally between you there, we've got clubhouses in sport, business and life, which is pretty cool. Listen, thank you both so much for your time. I'm really, really grateful. Thanks for all the insights. I've got loads of notes that next time I see you, I'm going to pester you both on. So just be warned on that. Thanks for all the work you're doing and the support with Team Wales. We'll definitely see you at a business event soon. Tim and Laura, thank you so much.
A I really hope you enjoyed that episode. I loved sitting down and chatting away with Tim and Laura there. There's so much going on. You'll have picked up so much about Brown Jacobson as an organisation, its commitment to looking after people, bringing your whole self to work, and ultimately just how on earth can you perform in the workplace if you're not looked after outside and inside? You know, what makes you work? What makes you tick? Looking at that sort of parent policy as well, I think, is a really important piece for people's mental health. It's just a really powerful place to work. It feels Laura said it brilliantly, didn't she? That's her clubhouse. She thinks it's a bit cheesy maybe, but it makes complete sense. Look, we really hope you enjoyed it. If you haven't checked out some of the other episodes, we've been sitting with some incredible partners. Please check them out. There's another one coming next week. And again, please do leave us a review. We'd love to hear your feedback on how we can improve this for you. But for now, thank you so much for listening to this Team Wales Partner Podcast.